affirmative information, the immigration judge knew that Mr. Machino was a juvenile offender, and that his criminal history consisted entirely of juvenile adjudication. And the immigration judge was that juvenile adjudication would not serve as any kind of bar to statutory eligibility under the voluntary departure statute. Because it was apparent from the record that Mr. Machino was eligible for voluntary departure, the mandatory duty to inform triggered. The immigration judge, however, failed to so inform Mr. Machino. He never once stated that he was eligible for voluntary departure, that voluntary departure was a form of relief that would allow him to leave the country in lieu of a removal order, or that to merit voluntary departure, he would have to present certain positive equity. And the government doesn't dispute this point. The government's primary contention is that the immigration judge denied voluntary departure. However, that doesn't suffice in due process. Due process requires, under Ortiz-Lopez, the immigration judge inform an alien of his or her ability to apply for relief.
Well, is that, isn't there some duty, let's assume that he should have been told that he was eligible and that the IJ, for whatever reason, thinking that he, forgetting that he was a juvenile or for whatever reason, didn't tell him. He's challenging his removal now in district court. Doesn't he have some burden to show that this was prejudiced him in some way and that he was denied some really substantive right, not merely that the right words weren't mouthed?
That is correct. There is a burden to show prejudice, and that's part of the fundamentally unfair showing under 1326D. But if there was a question of prejudice, the proper course of action in this court would be to remand to the district court to determine whether Mr. Machino was in fact prejudiced.
Didn't he have some burden to show at least prima facie that he was prejudiced when he challenged the removal in the first place? Because the removal itself, the documentation and everything was there.
Right. He does have a burden to demonstrate prejudice. I would say in this case that burden was properly met. This court has made clear that in the case of Congress of 1326D, the prejudice inquiry is whether there is a plausible form of relief. And the best expectation of plausibility comes from Alcazar Justus, which is an unpublished decision from this court last year, I believe. And it states first what plausibility is not. Plausibility is not a showing that voluntary departure is guaranteed or certain. It's a lower threshold. And it's really a fact-specific inquiry, and that inquiry would require this court to look at cases from both the BIA as well as the Ninth Circuit to see where voluntary departure is going to be
found. Excuse me.
Compare the facts in those cases to the equity that the individual before the court has met.
The government suggests here that Mr. Machino would have to show unusual and extraordinary equities under that plausibility analysis. What's your position on that?
Well, first, I believe that position is incorrect. But second, I believe even if that position were correct, Mr. Machino could make a higher showing if the CIA has found outstanding equities on similar tasks.
Well, what did he say to the district court? I guess that's what you want us to remand for the district court to have a further hearing on this, but didn't he have to show something to the district court in the first place?
Well,
what did he show? That's what I'm...
Okay, so at the district court level, showed that Mr. Lucino was brought to the country when he was 3 years old by his parents. And at the time of the removal order, he had a continuous residency of 10 years. He went to the middle school in the United States, as well as earning a GED in the United States, teaching English. He had a history of stable employment. He worked as a mover for a moving company. And he also was engaged to a United States citizen by birth and was returned to
are some countervailing factors, though, and with respect to gang activities and some criminal history and the like. So don't we have to take into account whether or not, with that background, the plausibility determination could be made with that collection of factors? I mean, is that something we can consider in terms of determining whether or not it's appropriate to remand? Suggesting is to remand it to the district court for the district court to make a determination on the prejudice issue. If the district court determines that there was no prejudice, then could then reinstate the sentence.
Correct. Thank you, and I'd like to reserve my remaining time.
You may. You have about a minute.
Going back to the immigration proceeding, he would have presumably, or potentially, if he'd been advised that he was eligible, might have determined not to waive appeal, to try to develop the record. Shouldn't he have an opportunity to, shouldn't he have had an opportunity to do that? And by virtue of not having had that opportunity, how can we go back and figure that out?
Did the district court rule on that
point?
On the prejudice prong, Your Honor?
No, on the fact that it was determined.
Yes, well, I believe Judge Lorenz did note in the record that the IJ said specifically voluntary departure will be denied. That came through at the hearing before him. So that was definitely addressed in the record below.
Is it your position that that's what the district court ruled on, or did the district court say he didn't have to be told?
No, I think it's
a little peculiar
that the district court held the defendant was considered for voluntary departure, and that in the exercise of discretion, the IJ denied that form of relief. And so I think, in addition, the district court had more than enough on, as far as the record goes, to make the determination that no prejudice had been shown. And as Your Honor noted, there are a lot of countervailing factors against meeting this burden of a plausible ground for relief in this case. The defendant was an admitted gang member. Obviously, it was raised later that he had a fiancé who was pregnant with his child, but at the time of the IJ hearing, the judge asked him, do you have any family ties? And he said, no. And we can't expect the immigration judge to be able to read the defendant's mind in this case. He was asked specifically about family ties, and he said no.
But just as a fundamental due process point, this individual was not advised that he had a right to seek voluntary departure. He's understandably has no clue at this point that he has that right, and then he makes certain decisions, one of which is he decides to waive his appeal, as I understand it.
That's
isn't
right.
That fundamentally unfair, such that the real due process concerns are implicated by that?
I think they are to some degree, but I also think that the IJ didn't use the magic words voluntary departure in this case, but he asked a series of questions leading up to that, such as, he informed everyone at the hearing, if you want to present evidence, if you want to marshal equities, to quote Judge Gould earlier this morning, you have a chance to do that. If you want to see...
For what?
That's the problem. That is the problem. He didn't say the magic words voluntary departure.
Well, and more than that, I think if I recall correctly, he says, when I get to you, and I believe there were 25 different individuals at that point before him, he says, I advise you as to whether or not there are remedies available. He suggests, don't worry, I'm going to bring that up again with you. And then, when Mr. Lucino gets there, he doesn't.
That's true, Your Honor. And that's why we don't concede that it was fundamentally unfair. I think the better and stronger point for the government in this case is that the defendant cannot show prejudice, and that there's no...
But the district court didn't determine that.
That's true, but
the district court seemed to say, the best I can make of it is the district court seemed to say that there was a determination that he was not entitled to the relief to which he was never told that he might be entitled.
I agree, Your Honor, but I believe that there's enough in this record for this court
to make the independent determination.
Exactly, without unnecessarily remanding it to the district court for consideration of that fact. We have all of the facts in the excerpts of record here. We know that he now or was engaged at the time, is engaged to a United States citizen and the father of a United States citizen baby. But we have all of the countervailing factors, that he's a gang member, that he has two serious juvenile adjudications for which he received 5 years in California Youth Authority. And again, while acknowledging that's a juvenile adjudication, both of those would be categorical crimes of violence under 201.2. If he had been convicted as an adult, those would result in 16-level enhancements to his sentence. We know that he doesn't have any family members aside from the fiancé and now the U.S. citizen child. The IJ also notes that he had a prior voluntary removal. This is someone who was given a chance to reapply for admission legally and didn't do so. And in fact, came back, I believe, less than a year later. He was given voluntary removal in 2004, came back in 2005, did 5 years in California Youth Authority custody after his parole was revoked. So even in light of all of the other factors, such as the fact that he had earned his GED and that he might have had some part-time work, this is a very young individual with very serious juvenile adjudications. And I don't believe that he would be able to meet that burden of demonstrating.
Well, you may well be right, but isn't the proper place to make that determination in the trial court rather than here.
I think that there's enough information on this record for this panel to make that determination. I don't think that there's anything new, and my opposing counsel hasn't cited anything that would necessarily further inform the district court on that determination. I think it would make more sense for this panel to be able to decide that issue. Unless the court has any other questions, I would submit.
There don't appear to be any further questions. Thank you.
I'd like to make two brief points, Your Honors. First, I would point this court to pages 42 and 43 of the ER, where the district court essentially says that voluntary departure, the immigration judge considered Mr. Latino for voluntary departure, and therefore the motion is denied. So I think the district court is essentially saying there's no due process violation. The district court never reaches the prejudice issue, and that's why I'm suggesting that a remand is appropriate. And I would point this court to several authorities in support of a remand. United States versus Lopez-Vasquez and Leon Paz, those are all three cases in which this court remanded to the district court determination of prejudice. And I would note that the government hasn't pointed to any countervailing authorities to consider the court to reach the prejudice issue in the first instance. Secondly, I would note that Mr. Latino does have certain countervailings for negative equities. However, as I mentioned, there are several cases that cited in the time brief indicate that gang affiliation, even adult convictions for robbery, do not bar eligibility and more than eligibility for consideration for voluntary departure. And the BIA has not found that. So I think it would be plausible, and I think that you have to remember the standard, it's plausible that an immigration judge would find Mr. Latino eligible.
Thank you. The case just argued is submitted for decision. The court appreciates the argument of counsel from both sides in the matter. That concludes the court's calendar for this morning, and the court stands adjourned.